بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, tonight we heard the 10th juz being recited, which was a continuation of Surah Al-Anfal, which we commenced yesterday, and thereafter Surah Al-Tawbah. And generally we find these two surahs, in particular the 10th juz of Quran, containing various verses pertaining to jihad, fighting in the path of Allah, opposing the enemies of Islam and the Muslims. And many a times we find that verses from these two surahs and this particular juz are misquoted by the enemies of Islam in order to portray Islam as barbaric, as aggressive, to portray Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as being a bloodthirsty leader, etc. Just one verse for us to understand. Of course, these verses have to be understood in their context. Surah Al-Anfal speaks about the Battle of Badr, the first military campaign of Islam, of the Muslims. And for us to understand the severity and the aggression that was shown in the Battle of Badr, we have to understand what was the lead up to the Battle of Badr. We cannot just isolate the incident. Rather, we have to understand that the Battle of Badr took place in the second year after Hijrah. And this was after a period of approximately 15 years of persecution against Islam and the Muslims. We know in Makkah Mukarramah, the entire Meccan period, approximately 13 years that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Sahaba were in Makkah Mukarramah. And throughout that time they were persecuted, they were downtrodden, their rights were taken away from them. And thereafter permission was given for Hijrah, they left to Madinah Munawwara. But still many Sahaba remained in Makkah, they were unable to make Hijrah. And for the next 2 years they also continued to be persecuted. We know about the boycott in the valley of Abu Talib, which also took place in this time. So 15 years of persecution, and thereafter the Battle of Badr took place. So when we understand what was behind it, we can then understand and appreciate the severity and the aggression that was shown during the Battle of Badr. Very similar to the current condition that we find ourselves going through, where we find Western media highlights the offensive that was done by the Palestinian army or the people of Palestine, conveniently forgetting the many years of persecution and oppression that preceded the events that took place recently. So when we understand it in context, then we will appreciate the tone of Quran and the message of Quran. So this was Surah Al-Anfal, which speaks about the Battle of Badr. And after that, Surah Al-Tawbah speaks about the Battle of Hunain and the expedition of Tabuk. So of course, speaking about military campaigns, we can expect the tone to be one of aggression. Nevertheless, one verse that we find that is commonly misquoted, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. Allah very clearly instructs Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that prepare against them, against the enemy, whatever you are able to, as far as archery is concerned, as far as your cavalry is concerned, ensure that you are well prepared. تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَكُمْ. The reason being, you can then strike fear, strike terror into the hearts of the enemies of Allah and your enemies. So people quote this and say that, look, Islam wants to cause fear and wants to cause terror, and it is not a religion of peace. Of course, this verse, we understand, we believe in it, and we wholeheartedly will follow the dictates of this verse. But if we see the verse that comes immediately after it, وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَجْنَحْ لَهَا. Allah tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, despite commanding you to prepare as much as you can, a believer is never caught unaware or caught on the back foot. He is always prepared. But despite that, Allah then says that if the opposition inclines towards some treaty or some peace agreement, then you also incline to it and you also go ahead with this and live with them in such a way. Of course, they must be subservient to Islam and the Muslims, but it does not mean that Islam is out to take their lives. In fact, ulama have written, there's no time to go into the details, that the sequence preceding jihad is that first we will invite the enemy to accept Islam. And we will make every effort to explain to them why Islam is the true, the final religion of Allah, and why the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only acceptable and logical belief that a person can have. So we invite them to accept Islam. If they still refuse, then there is a second option, where they will be allowed to pay the jizya, which is also mentioned in this juz, where they will pay a minimal tax, and they will then live in the Muslim state, and all the rights of Muslim citizens will be given to them. Of course, we will not allow them to have the upper hand and to dominate, but they will be treated as equal citizens to the people of Islam. لَهُمْ مَا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَلَيْهِمْ مَا عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ Nabi alayhi salam says, all the rights that a Muslim citizen enjoys, we speak about service, delivery, etc., they will also enjoy these rights. So that is the second option. And only if this fails and they refuse to submit, then only do we now go to qital and to wage war against them. So we have to understand these verses in its context. Nevertheless, in the beginning of the 10th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the battle of Badr and many details that we will hear in the coming days. Of course, we know the date of the battle of Badr was the 17th of Ramadan. So on that date, inshallah, we will discuss further. But just one verse for us to understand what was the battle of Badr. Why was it so special? Allah here calls it Yawm al-Furqan, the day of criterion, the day of distinction. This was the day where it now became clear to the entire world, and especially the Arab world, that Allah's assistance was with Islam and the Muslims. Before this, the mushrikeen had claimed that we worship Allah. Remember, the mushrikeen also worshipped Allah, but with that they ascribed partners to him. In fact, according to some narrations, before the battle of Badr, the Quraysh army, the mushrikeen also made dua. And they said, oh Allah, you send your assistance to whichever of the two groups is correct. And thereafter we saw the assistance of Allah coming to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this was known as Yawmul Furqan, the day which made a clear distinction between the two groups, which group is upon haq and truth and which group is upon batil and falsehood. After the battle of Badr, of course this was the first military campaign, the question then arose, how do we distribute the spoils of war? This was the first time that a large amount of booty had come in. How should this be distributed? So in the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that that which is ghanimah, ghanimah refers to the spoils of war taken after a battle has taken place, then the distribution should be 1/5 for the Baytul Mal, the national treasury, and 4/5 will go to those who actively participated. And this is again to encourage them that you put your life on the line, Allah appreciates this, and Allah will not only reward you in the akhirat, but in this world also. And Mufassirin say the lesson for us is that sometimes we have people under our employ who are working for us, who are our subordinates, so we motivate them in this manner also. That listen, if you sacrifice and we can see that you are working hard and you're giving it your all, then there will be a substantial reward for you. Not that we squeeze every last drop out of them and we are not prepared to then reward them substantially. Here Allah gives 4/5 of the entire amount to those who actively participated. In the 28th juz, in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah speaks about a different type of booty or spoils of war, which is called Al-Fay. This is called Ghanima, and there the word Fay is used, Ma Afa Allah. And there the difference is that that which is taken after a campaign wherein there was no physical battle. As an example, the Muslim army launches an attack, or rather marches against a town or a village, and those people then surrender and they hand over whatever they have. So this will now not go to those who participated, but here the entire amount will come to the Baytul Mal, the national treasury. The difference being that they did not have to lie their lives on the line. But here where they actively fought, where there was a battle that took place, then 4/5 will be secured by the Mujahideen. So this is discussed. And thereafter we commenced with Surah At-Tawbah. And we would have noticed when we make tilawat of Quran, that unlike all the other surahs in Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, we will not find the basmala, or what we would say bismillah, we will not find this written before Surah At-Tawbah. Here Mufassirin have mentioned three possible reasons for this. Mufti Shafi Saab rahimahullah mentions in Ma'ariful Quran, he says the main reason is that every other surah when Jibreel would come, then together with revealing the surah, he would also recite bismillah to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then tell Sahaba that write down bismillah and then write the surah. But this particular surah was not revealed like this. There was no bismillah revealed by Jibreel. Nabi alayhi salam did not command Sahaba to write it. So that is the simple reason why we do not find bismillah before the surah. And in our recitation also, if a person commences reciting from the beginning of the surah, then of course he will read a'udhu and then he will immediately start. He will not read bismillah. So that is the first reason. Second reason that is mentioned, According to the opinion of some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Suratul Tawbah is in actual fact a continuation of Suratul Anfal. What we would say, a second part or the second portion of Suratul Anfal. Therefore, there is no need to put Bismillah in between because they are not regarded as two separate surahs. And the third reason, which is perhaps the more famous reason, which we have heard before, is the subject matter of Suratul Tawbah, especially the opening verse. Allah instructs the Muslims that you now inform the mushrikeen that any peace treaty and agreement that we had with you is broken. And the reason for this, again, lengthy incident, the mushrikeen had violated the terms of the treaty over and over again. So here Allah is telling them that you inform these mushrikeen that any agreement of peace that we had with you is broken and we are now going to march against you and at any time we can attack you. Therefore, the theme is not a theme that demands the mercy of Allah. Rather, it is a theme that demands aggression. Therefore, Bismillah, which invokes the mercy of Allah, is not mentioned at the beginning of the surah. So these three reasons have been given by Mufassirin. And thereafter, as we mentioned, the battle of Hunain is discussed. The battle of Hunain was the last major battle that Nabi alayhi salam fought against an Arab tribe. The first was the battle of Badr in the second year after Hijrah. The battle of Hunain was in the eighth year after Hijrah, according to many muhaddithin and muarrikhin, in the month of Shawwal. And this took place shortly after the conquest of Makkah. There were two tribes, the Hawazin and the Thaqif, who were always competing with the Quraysh. They wanted to be the top tribe of the Arabs. When the Quraysh now, or many of them, accepted Islam at the conquest of Makkah, the leader of the Hawazin now saw this as an opportunity that we will establish our position as the leading tribe of the mushrikeen amongst the Arabs. And therefore he declared his intention to march against Makkah and against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam got wind of this. He prepared his army and he set off 12,000 men, 10,000 who had come from Medina for the conquest of Makkah, and 2,000 who were mostly made up of new Muslims who had just accepted Islam now in Makkah. This army of 12,000 marched to the valley of Hunain. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about their incorrect yaqeen. That because of their large numbers, somebody made the statement, he said, لَن نُغْلَبْ الْيَوْمْ مِنْ قِلَّةِ. That if we are defeated today, it definitely won't be because of a shortage of numbers. We have enough as far as outward means are concerned. 12,000 man strong army. This was unheard of in those days. Because of this, Allah taught them a lesson. And when they reached Hunain, then the opposition had prepared an ambush, and immediately they launched an attack by firing arrows against the Muslimin, and this caused many of them to then flee from the battlefield. According to some narrations, just a handful, some riwayat mentioned just 9 people from an army of 12,000 that remained by the side of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Abbas radiallahu anhu was holding the reins of the camel. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then mentioned that famous couplet that we have heard before, أنا النبي لا كذب أنا ابن عبد المطلب. That I am the messenger of Allah. There is no word of lie that I am speaking. I am the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. And then he commanded for a few groups to be called. That call the Ansar, call the people of Bay'atul Aqaba, and tell them to come back. When this announcement was made, now the Muslims realized their error and they came rushing back to the battlefield, and Allah then granted them victory over the opposition. But here we learn the lesson that at no point in time should our attention ever be on the outward means. As we mentioned before, Allah does with the means, without the means, and at times Allah does against the means. Various other incidents. Time has run out already. We'll continue tomorrow, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.